You keep them closed, hoping that you can quiet things down before you absolutely must get out of bed and face another day. Your heart races, your breathing quickens, and you remember that you can't quiet things down this way. So you do the best thing you can think of. You jump out of bed before you get into a panic. You keep yourself in motion, going through the routines of your life, hoping that at some point you will find relief. Anxiety, worry, hopelessness, depression, all of these are rooted in one common word: fear. Now, you may or may not have experienced that specific scenario, but I would hazard a guess that some of us here have. I have personally, and it's a gripping thing. Fear can snare you, it can grip you, it can stop you dead in your tracks, and it can bring you to your knees. If you've lived in fear, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It can also compel you, drive you, and consume your thoughts. It's like you're living in life and there's a whole other layer of everything that you see. It's always in front of you. In the words of Frank Herbert, for you sci-fi folks, author of Dune, you know the litany against fear, right? But he describes fear this way. I think it's really apt. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. We also have another sci-fi reference. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. The path of the dark side are these. Sorry, I'm living in Star Wars land right now. We've all experienced fear to one degree or another in our lifetime. Some of us are experiencing fear right now. But it's something that comes up again and again in our lives. Now, Bernie and I didn't talk about this before this Sunday, if you're wondering. But the same Holy Spirit is talking to both of us. So, don't be surprised at where we're going this morning, because God's got a plan for this year. He wants to bring some things to the surface because of where we're going this year, where you are going with Him this year. The last time I spoke to you, about 2 weeks ago, I shared a message about faith and trust. I enjoyed that message. The Lord is teeing things up for us with that message. He's getting things set up for this year. But as I started preparing this message, He helped me to realize that in order for that message to come to fulfillment in your life, He wants to talk about fear with you today. Okay? If you'll remember that last message, I told you that He wants to train us to trust Him, to train us to know that His ways are higher than our ways, to believe Him and surrender our lives to Him. Because faith is about surrender. It's not about wish. Faith is about agreeing with what God has already said and then moving forward on it. It brings that unseen thing into the seen realm. When you step out in faith, you're grabbing hold of that invisible thing and bringing it into the visible realm. Because He desires to move through us effortlessly, there you go, without inhibition. At the end of my last message, if you're here, you may recall a story I told about my dad and I and a refrigerator. In case you weren't here, you haven't heard that message. My dad, when I was a kid, gave me the opportunity to trust him. and a whole new level. I'd been up on top of a refrigerator putting up some things in storage in our garage, and he told me to fall backwards into his arms. And a refrigerator is about this tall. After much coaxing and cajoling, I finally realized that I could trust him and that he was going to be there. Because if he wasn't, I was going to die. Well, he wasn't going to let that happen to me, right? So I did that. I fell backwards into his arm, into that abyss, and he caught me. Because I trusted him. And I had to fully commit to it. Because as you know, catching a board is a lot easier than catching a cannonball. You have to go all the way for it. So thank God, that's part of my history now. I'm trusting my dad. And if you remember, I'd asked him recently, why'd you do that? What was your purpose in that? And his answer was very interesting, and it's the basis of what we're talking about here today. He said, one of the jobs of being a father is that you challenge your children to face their fears. He was not going to allow me to stay bound up in distrust. He was not about to let that happen. He gave opportunity for me to face that fear, and he didn't send me out into it alone. He was a part of that story. It depended on him being there. And that's how our Father is with us. So where are we heading in 2016? Bernie nailed it. New beginnings. This isn't a New Year's resolution message. This is an outlook message. This is a map to the adventure that's waiting for you in 2016. 2016 is about new beginnings. You've got a blank slate ahead of you here. Doesn't matter what your past has been. Doesn't matter where you've been. God's talking about new things, new beginnings. You've been hearing it here more and more, and you'll keep hearing it because he keeps talking about it, and we'll keep pounding it from different angles. He has great things for you. He has great things through you, and he's looking to open up and unfold whole new layers to your life this year. He's looking to add textures to your life, and the surprising thing is, they've always been there. They've just not been uncovered yet. If you remember last time I said, we're not cookie-cutter Christians. We're not gingerbread men. He didn't just go through and stamp us all out. Each one of us is a masterpiece. It's a unique masterpiece. We all take on here in this world a very similar shape. But the shape of who we are on the inside is different and unique for each of us, each and every one of us. And we only get to fully see that when we go with him. Have you been experiencing an underlying sense of agitation? A general sense of unsettledness? Like things are starting to become negotiable? He's been stirring the waters. Is he stirring your waters? Yeah? Stirring my waters. New beginnings this year. I can think of at least two or three things in my life that are happening that are new this year. My wife, Katie, likes to get involved in these online classes put on by this woman named Jean Oliver. Some of you may be familiar with Jean. My goodness, that woman has incredible gifts, and they are all over the place. She's artistic, but she can explain things in such a palatable way, and she challenges other women to get closer to God. And this year, she's got a class that's talking about hearing God and drawing in close with him. My wife's been taking this class, and she said, "You've got to hear this video. You got to see this video." So I did. I watched it with her. And one of the things Jean talked about is being courageously foolish. Courageously foolish. God asks us to be courageously foolish. Not just the sense, not just, you know, for the sheer ability to be courageously foolish and just to go try stuff out, but to be courageously foolish at what he's asking us to do. See, when he asks us to do things and he asks us to step out in faith, they're not normally the things that you would do or would be going on around you. You might look like a fool to those that are around you. Noah looked like a fool to those that are around him, right? Banging on that ark for 120 years, right? No one else was doing that except his family, and I'm sure there was a lot of second-guessing going on there. However, he stayed true to what God was telling him. Scriptures are full of stories of people that have been courageously foolish with the Lord. They stood up in opposition to everything else that's going on around them and kept their eyes focused on him. God's talking to us about being courageously foolish this year. He wants us to attempt new things so we can face fears, we can surrender our will, and we can truly get to know him as Father and ourselves as sons in a whole new way. And that's going to be specific to each one of us. I have a little shameless plug here. Some of you remember the series that Brandon Nickish and I taught last year about the Kephale culture and how we said we're going to be starting something off this next year. On January 23rd, Saturday, here, we're going to have the men start to come together and we're going to initiate that thing that we've been talking about. So men, put that on your calendar. Wives, put that on your husband's calendar. Saturday, January 23rd, we're going to meet here in the morning and we're going to get started on what's going to be happening this year. A fresh new start. And that's just one of many things that's going on. Because God has fresh opportunities for us this year. Now, the things that he's going to be bringing you into are hidden things that each of us tends to be intimidated by. Okay? You're probably thinking right now about what that might be in your life, right? But it's going to be something that you've been intimidated by, something that you might be unsure of. He may have been tugging you in that direction for a while. For others of us, it's going to start to unfold after this message, okay? Because he's at work. Why are they things that we are intimidated by? Because the enemy doesn't want us to grow into who we've been called to be. Do you know what the inhibitor of faith is? Anybody? Doubt. Doubt is the inhibitor of faith. It comes out of fear. Doubt is rooted in fear. So what is it that inhibits us from trusting God and stepping forward in the things that he's called us to do? It's doubt. See, the enemy's not stupid. He's actually really smart. Just like God knows who he's called you to be and how he shaped you and formed you, the enemy has a good pulse on who you're supposed to be. He's watched your life. He's watched God's plan. And so the best thing he can do now that you've come to the Lord and you've become a son is keep you out of the game. Keep you out of the game. So what does he do? He brings fear and doubt in to the things that God's called you to do. He puts this buffer around things to where you see that and say, "Oh, God wants me to go do that. Wait a second. If I do that, then this and this and oh, that, and I'm not even qualified to do that." Right? And he undercuts you there before you've even put your hand on the thing. It's a powerful scheme of the enemy to cause us to fear. By it, he keeps us from doing the things we have been specifically made and called to do. He causes us to call into question the things the Lord tells us to do. And we get that fear buffer around the actions and activities we were destined to take part in. Each of us is destined for great things. Who's held a baby in their arms and looked at them and said, "Man, what has God made you to do? What things are you going to do in your life?" And we don't tend to think about all the terrible things that could happen to them. We think about the opportunities. We think about all the positive things that God could have for them. We don't think about their doubts and their fears. We think about their victories they're going to have in their life. That's the heart of the Father in us. See, if the enemy can keep you from ever touching what God has prepared for you while you're here, he can keep you from maturing and keeping you from being effective during your deployment here. You're on deployment here. We're in a war. And he's got psychological warfare going on against you with fear. Because fear leads to doubt. Doubt leads to indecision. And indecision is a decision. It's a decision not to make a decision, right? There's a great book by Mark Batterson out right now that talks about that very thing. Our Father repeatedly in Scripture tells us, "Fear not, don't be afraid, be of good courage. I am with you. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Believe. Don't doubt." Because doubt in our minds inhibits faith. When we're double-minded, we're like waves tossed on the ocean. When we're living in faith, we're solidly grounded and standing on what God has firmly placed before us. So doubt is the antithesis of faith. It questions the evidence and believes that what is unseen isn't there. It wars with faith. See, if faith is our active agreement with God and what he has said, then doubt is our disagreement with him. If faith shows our belief, then doubt shows our unbelief. It's anti-faith. That's why it's a sin. See, when the enemy tricked Adam and Eve, he introduced three new things into our lives, into that sin nature that we are now part of. And you've heard them before, you'll hear it again. Self-provision, self-promotion, and self-preservation. All of those are rooted in fear. Because fear is what governs the sin nature. See, prior to that, we didn't worry about provision. We didn't worry about protection. We didn't even worry about our promotion because our Father had all that stuff taken care of. But after the fall, we take care of all that ourselves for fear of one thing or another. What's going to happen to me? How am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? What if that guy has a leg up on me? Self-provision, self-promotion, self-preservation. It's part of our fallen nature. But when we come to Christ, our true nature is restored. We go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We go from sin to righteousness. We move from doubt or from fear to love. We go from being governed by fear to being governed by love. That plays out from going from doubt to going to faith. And over here we're called slave, and over here we're called son. These worlds are in complete opposition to one another. Because fear, if you've come to Christ, fear is no longer your nature. Fear is the nature of the devil. The nature of your Father is love, that agape love, that unconditional love. So you didn't have a choice of what nature you were born into. That choice was made well before we got here. That's not a decision you got to make. But you have a decision now once you're here about what nature you're going to be reborn into. You can be reborn into a nature of love. Talked a lot about fear here. There is an antidote to fear, and it is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And who is perfect love? It is your Father. His nature is to love. We're not to be ruled by fear. We're to be ruled by love. Love lifts. It doesn't oppress. It trusts. It doesn't doubt. And because we're working from, going from one kingdom, and we've come into another, we've come under a new jurisdictional authority, the authority of your Father. The enemy doesn't have authority over you any longer. He can exert power, but he doesn't have authority. So you can feel that oppression of fear come again, but it's not supposed to stay. You can be freed from the fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. You know that power word isn't power like strength. The power word that's used there in the Greek is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. It's explosive. Little tiny stick. Huge amount of power, right? His spirit has that, and he put that inside you. Love. This isn't cuddly love. This is agape love. This is conquering love. He put that inside you. And you're governed with a sound mind, with self-discipline. How many of you know that fear can bring so much confusion into your life? It brings chaos. It breeds chaos in your life. It loves churning. God doesn't churn you. He sets you on a clear path. You don't turn to the right or to the left. He gives you a clear path forward. Sound mind, self-discipline. You see, the enemy tries to draw us back into fear. He tries to strap the chains of fear back on you. But you don't belong to his kingdom anymore. You're not a citizen of his kingdom anymore. Let me say that again. You're not a citizen of his kingdom anymore. You've come to Jesus. You're a citizen of his Father's kingdom. What's more, you're a son. You're a daughter in that kingdom. You know, I hate how the enemy has ravaged my life at different times over fear of things and kept me from doing what God has called me to do. When I realized that I was a prince in the kingdom and the enemy had wasted years of my life causing me to fear different things, it made me boil on the inside. I'm not living in that any longer. I refuse to live there. I've gone through a season of fear where you wake up and hopefully you have that moment of peace. Where your day, for some reason, is going really well and you think, wait, wasn't I thinking about something? Oh, no, there it is again. Have you been there? And it sucks the air right out of you again. That's not what we've been called to. We've been called to greater things than that. Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba! Father, Daddy! That's deeply personal. You're not a slave. But fear will tell you that you are. It's a lie. It is a lie. You are not a slave any longer. You don't have to put up with that. You get to walk out. What's more, you get to take the treasure with you. They walked out of Egypt. They took the treasure with them. They didn't just sneak out. They marched out. They had victory. Who went before them? Their father went before them. First John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involved punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Let him perfect you. Let him perfect you. This is why our Father challenges us to face our fears. And he is active at driving them out. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it. You can ignore it. It's going to come back. He has to do it because he wants you to trust him. How does he do that? He brings us to places where he demonstrates his love for us, places where we have to trust him so that you know it wasn't you who did it. You know that it was him that came through for you. If it doesn't work out, if you're in a place where you know you're beyond yourself, it won't work unless he shows up. That's where you find your trust in him. He proves his love to you, and he proves his love through you. He is the one who actively attacks fear on every level. Where do we fear? We fear about ourselves. We fear about others. We fear about the world. We fear about the enemy. Here's the real clincher. We fear death. What's the worst thing that can happen? Death. Right? Everything else kind of builds on that. If I do wrong here, then if I don't, doesn't come through, something bad's going to happen. But if we follow that train of thought, ultimately we're fearful of death, death to our mortal bodies. I have news for you. Your mortal body's already dead. Galatians 2:20, if you're wondering, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? Your life is already forfeit. Your body's already forfeit. Who you are, your spirit, already has a destination. They kill your body, you become more powerful than they could possibly imagine. Star Wars, I'm sorry, I'm still there. But it's true. These are on rent. They're on loan. You get to step out of this stuff someday, and it's going to pass away. And by the way, you get a new permanent body that's way better than this thing. Way better than this old rag. Come on. Way better. Another fear. God won't come through on what he promised. What if he doesn't show up? Friend, I'm going to tell you this. If you're doing what he has called you to do, if you're doing what he has told you to do, he will always show up. It might not be how you expected it, but he will always show up. He always comes through on his promises. He said his word's not going to return back to him void. That means it always comes through and accomplishes what it was meant to accomplish. Bernie talked about them fearing and not entering the promised land. That generation didn't enter the promised land. But that nation did enter the promised land. He punished the generation, but his promise is still true. He brought Israel into the promised land. Even when we mess up, God is always faithful, always faithful. He's bringing about opportunities to unfold new areas of your life this year, opportunities that will demonstrate his love to you and through you, each one of you. And those opportunities will lie beyond your fear and doubt buffer. You've got a comfort zone. You've also got a discomfort zone. Hop the fence. Hop the fence this year. It's a ruse. It's meant to keep you back. Those are empty threats. When your father says, come on over here, come on over there, the enemy will lie to you. He'll tell you everything he can think of to keep you out of it. Don't listen to him. By the way, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It doesn't exist. If you're a child of God, it doesn't exist. This is the prequel. Okay? This is the prequel to the journey. When your life ends, you step out of this into the next room. Okay? That painful death, whatever it is that you're afraid of, it's a ruse. His angels come to welcome you into the next step of your journey. That's the truth. His angels come. The rest of it, momentary, gone. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Listen to David, Psalm 34, verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. All of them. All my fears. And if you think you're going to be without troubles in this life, get a different thought. All right? You're in a war. Stop thinking you're not in a war. You are actually in a war. There's battle going on all the time. Don't listen to the fear. It's psychological warfare. Further on in Psalm 34, verse 19, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Again, all of them. Trust in him. It says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Don't fear what other people can do to you. Don't fear those circumstances. Put your trust and your hope and your faith in God and step forward in what he is telling you to do. Not what you think you should do. Not what you think should win you some points with God. What he is telling you to do. That requires you to listen to him. That requires you to be intimate with him. And we have stuff here at this church, courses that teach you how to listen to the Lord. How many of you have gone through those courses? There you go. If you've not, get involved in it. Because you know you can hear God. He is always speaking to you. Learn how to hear his voice. When I learned how to hear his voice, I realized he'd been talking to me my whole life. And I could look back at different times and say, that was you. That was you. That was you. I thought that was a great idea I had. But it was him speaking to me. And once I could identify that voice, it changed everything. If you don't think you can hear God, it's because you don't know what his voice is that has already been coming in. You haven't tagged that thing yet. And when you do, it changes everything. Look, the work done on Calvary was done once and for all. He has come to set you free. He came to set you free. The work is done. He came to set you free from sin and death. He came to set you free from doubt and fear. And he came to set you free to live in the agape of your Father. That perfect love that casts out fear. Whatever the enemy has told you and lied to you about can be stripped away. See, the Lord came to set you free and to restore the nature of the Father in you, and that nature is love. On our way here this morning, my wife said, can you imagine what it would be like if we were all doing what the Lord was telling us to do. Good Lord. What a question. Doesn't that just get right at the crux of it? What if we actually believed? What if we actually stepped forward? Not just one of us, but all of us. Each of those little things that he has called every one of us to do mounts up to something that is much bigger than the sum of the parts. Much bigger. You see, if all of us were doing what he was telling us to do, we would see much greater demonstrations all over the place of his kingdom, putting the Father on display. His kingdom on display. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It'll feel big to you because it's personal. It's personal. Each one of us, it's personal. When you step forward in that thing, victory is gaining ground in the earth. His kingdom is advancing. So don't hold back. I've got a music video here that I'd like to share with you. And while it's coming up, I'll preface it. How many of us are familiar with Bethel Church in Redding, California? A lot of you listen to their music and don't even know it. If you listen to Jesus Culture, you've listened to their things. Several years ago, Bill Johnson, who's the pastor of that church, started the School of Supernatural Ministry and a School of Worship and other schools, and they have really been investing in the Spirit and cultivating a culture that depends on Christ. It depends on him coming through for us. It depends on him showing each of us what he's called us to be and to becoming excellent at that thing. So what you've been starting to hear in Jesus Culture and other spinoffs of music coming out of there is a heart of worship that is excellent. Okay? There's a husband and wife group here named Jonathan and Melissa Helser. And they pulled together a song of worship that I really believe captures the heart of what God's doing for us this year and his heart for what he's doing in this generation. Okay? So I'd like you to rise to your feet. I challenge you right now to open your hearts to what the Lord's going to say in this song and what comes out of it. My wife and I have been listening to this all weekend long, and just about every time it brings me to tears. Okay, I'll just be honest with you. Let's roll it.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with God.
Don't let the enemy rob you of who you are in your Father. Don't let it happen. You are a child of God. You are not a slave to fear. You are not a slave to fear. What He has planned for you is amazing. And you've got a blank slate. You've got a blank slate this year. Go at risk with Him. It's not a risk. Follow Him. Hallelujah, Lord. I love that line. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. When the Israelites' embodiment of their worst fears was chasing them into God's pathway for them, He swallowed them up. He has drowned our fears in love. Take the hand of the person next to you. I'd like you to pray for this person, the person to your right and the person to your left, whoever's hand you're holding. I want you to intercede for them right now. I'm going to pray over all of us. But intercede specifically for that person against the doubts and the fears that the enemy has been speaking about them. We're breaking chains this morning, and God is releasing us as a people to move forward this year. Holy Spirit, I thank You. I thank You for Your wisdom and Your revelation. I thank You for what You're doing this year. I thank You, Lord, for all of Your people. And Lord, I ask that each of us would find the courage and the strength through the power of Your Holy Spirit to take that step forward with You this year, Lord Jesus. Whatever that one thing is, Lord, that You've called us to, Lord, that we would step out onto it, knowing that You will meet us there, Lord. Knowing that You will meet us there. Knowing that You already have the victory, Lord. You've called us there because You've already gone there, Lord. You've prepared that land for us. So, Father, for each of these, I just ask for Your grace to break the chains right now, the enemy. Stop up their ears, Lord, and plug it, Lord, with Your voice. With Your voice directly there, Lord. Uninhibited, Lord. Speak to each of us in new ways this year, Lord. Let us know who we are and whose we are, Lord. I thank You, Father, for Your glory. I thank You for Your plan. And I thank You for Your provision for all of us, Lord. You did the work on the cross for each of us, Lord. And we thank You for it, Lord. We're no longer slaves to fear. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God, the Most High. Thank You, Jesus, for Your victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to work. Let's go to work. Amen.